Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
What is church and why is it important? There's a lot of different concepts and definitions of what a church is and how a church should function in today's culture. Today with Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to look at God's original plan for the local New Testament church. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we study a series entitled, I Will Build My Church. What is church? What did God mean when he made that statement? And how has it been redefined and reappropriated in today's culture? A lot of things, a lot of different institutions use the word church that don't really align with Jesus' original statement, I will build my church. And so, what is church? Why is it important? And how does that matter for your life? You're in store for a great treat as we study the local church. I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Lots of resources for your spiritual growth when you follow us at dailyintheword.org. Today is our final message in this series, Real Prayer, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Now, I want you to do something with me this morning very quickly. I want you to look to the last phrase of verse 6. We're going to go all the way through verse 6, but notice what it says at the last. It says, let your request be made known unto God. Would you say that with me this morning? Let be made known unto God. Notice here in the first place, the desire for our requests. The desire for our requests. Now, I was with my wife a few days ago, and she said something to me. She said, honey, could we stop into a store for a minute? Gentlemen, that is a trick, I'm telling you. Whether designed by our wives or not, you don't go into a store anywhere around a holiday for a minute. And what I've noticed these days when you go into stores is that many of the people that work in retail are not really eager to hear your request. Some of them are very good at not having eye contact. And they have a way of looking down, looking up, looking around, looking everywhere but at the customer. They don't seem to want to know what you need to find. And we experience that firsthand. But when I think about human nature, and then I think about the nature of God and His love, God is saying in this verse, I want to know what you need. God is telling me and telling you, let me know your requests. D.L. Moody said, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all. Isn't that amazing that God wants to know my request today? Now think about it. And think about it for a moment from the scripture before you in your notes, Hebrews 4:14, which speaks about Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now think of this for just a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ who suffered on this earth, who is tempted in every point like we are, yet he never sinned. My friend, don't you ever say that God doesn't understand. He does understand. And he came to this earth to show us that he understands. The shortest verse in the Bible tells us, Jesus wept. The Bible tells us that Jesus understands physical pain like no one has ever experienced on the cross of his crucifixion. He was tempted in all points like as we are, but he never sinned because he who was 100% man was also 100% God and could not and did not sin. And yet for his example to us, he says now, you can come boldly to me, come to my throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes it's convicting to me why more Christians do not pray more fervently, why members of Lancaster Baptist Church do not pray more often, why I do not pray more constantly. Do you understand what prayer is? This is not Arnold Schwarzenegger or Barack Obama or Bill Gates saying, come in and let me know what your request is. This is the Creator God of the universe saying, I want to know what you need, and yet we don't tell Him. We tell our friends, we tell our neighbors, we complain about other circumstances to other people, but the God of the world says, let me know what your request is, and we just don't come to Him. I think sometimes there are fairly obvious reasons why we don't. There are some hindrances to an effective prayer life. I think the first and foremost perhaps is pride. That automated spirit within us, that autonomous spirit within us that says, I can do it by myself. I don't need any help. And we want to try to work it out ourselves so often. I sometimes think that children are better prayer warriors than adults because they really believe that God can. And that leads us to this second hindrance of prayer, which is unbelief or a lack of faith. You see, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And sometimes we have enough faith to perhaps accept Christ as our Savior, but not enough faith to believe that He can solve the difficulties that we're experiencing. And then sometimes we just get too busy to pray. One of my favorite books on prayer was written years ago by Warren Wiersbe. It was entitled, Too Busy Not to Pray. You see, sometimes we think we're too busy to pray, but really we're too busy not to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. God says, I want you to talk to me all the time. Bring your requests to me all the time. And so there is a desire for my request. God wants me to come to Him with my request. Notice secondly, the delivery of those requests. Now, as we look at verse 6 a little more in depth, I want you to see that Jesus says, not only do I want to hear from you, but I want to tell you how I want to hear from you. I want you to know there's a way that you can come to me. Look at that in verse 6. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The first word is this word prayer. And prayer in this context speaks of coming and talking to God and speaking to Him concerning our heart for Him and our need for Him. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A few days ago at Thanksgiving time, we had the privilege of seeing a lot of our extended family. We got to spend some time with my grandmother, and in her 90s, she's one of the strongest praying Christians that I have ever known. And she spent some time with our children, her great-grandchildren, talking with them. This is my grandmother talking with Matt, sharing some Bible terms. I mean, she had a page of them and some Bible terms from her recent Bible studies and atonement and justification. And she was sharing some of her studies with our son. And that was just a precious sight for me. And a little later on, she grabbed our sons together with their wives. And she was there in the foyer of our folks' home explaining to them what she does every day in her prayer life, praying for them and how she brings their names before the throne of grace. She pulled me aside at one point. She said, Paul, I want to show you something. And she kind of pulled her little blouse right here to the side and she showed me something that was in the shape of a square under her skin and maybe about 1.5 by 1.5 square. And it was her pacemaker. She said, you see that? She said, that's what keeps me ticking. She said, there's a battery in there that keeps me ticking. She said, I sure hope it's a good battery. And she said, every morning I wake up and I'm still here and I'm still ticking. And she says, I'm not exactly sure what God wants me to do. But one thing He always reminds me to do, He always reminds me to pray for you. I tell you, I don't know how many of the blessings upon my ministry and this church have come from a praying grandmother, but I'm sure quite a few, you see. A woman who knows how to pray. E.M. Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use in prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer. And how I thank God today for men and women in Lancaster Baptist Church who pray and pray for their pastor and pray for the sick and pray for the lost and pray for God's power and pray for God's provision and pray for God's missionaries and pray for the children to be saved and pray for the children to be kept from the wiles of the devil. You see, friends, today we must learn to come to the Lord who says, I want to hear your request, and to bring our request to Him through prayer. And secondly, we see the word supplication. Supplication means the earnest desire of the heart. God says, I want to know what's on your heart. I want you to bring your supplications to me. George Mueller, the great prayer warrior of Bristol, England, said the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. God says we should come to Him with supplication. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not wrong to ask God for something you need in your life. He wants to hear from you. I heard of a young girl who confessed. She said, Lord, I'm not going to pray for myself today. At the end of her prayer, she said, and Lord, please give my mother a handsome son-in-law. Now, she's trying to get it in the back door there a little bit. But folks, I got to tell you what, it's okay to bring your request to the Lord, to bring your supplication to the Lord. When and how He answers is up to the Lord, my friend, but He wants to hear the desire of your heart. This is exactly what we learn from the Apostle Paul. He was a man who continuously prayed and brought his heart before the Lord. Go back to Acts 16 when the church at Philippi was getting started. And the Bible says in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, listen, you don't have to wait till you're in jail to make your supplication known. It can be any time or anywhere, but thank God, He says, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your prayers. I want to hear your supplication. But then notice that little phrase there in verse 6, which says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. God reminds us that no matter what our plight, no matter what our difficulty, there's always room for thanksgiving. Now, if you are gripped with fear, if you are gripped with emotional pain, if you're in a moment where you're utterly overwhelmed, it may be difficult to give thanks. But it's not impossible to give thanks, because there is always something for a Christian to say thank you for. There's always salvation. There may be breath left for which to give thanks. Daniel was one who showed us how to give thanks in difficult times. Daniel heard the decree that he was no longer allowed to pray to the God of heaven. He was told by the rulers of his day, you cannot pray in public. Only God knows what may happen in America. Only God knows what decrees may come down before Jesus returns. And I do not know how the church will respond, but I know how Daniel responded. In Daniel 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. You see, friend, it's one thing to pray when times are easy. It's one thing to pray when it's appreciated or when we're in church. But what about praying for your lunch at Northrop? And what about praying for your dinner at Denny's? And what about praying when someone with you doesn't even know the Lord? You see, God says, I want you to give me thanks. I want you to always remember to give thanks to the God who provides for you. Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. God says, in everything, give thanks. Now, someone might say, well, Brother Chapel, you don't realize this morning some of the things I'm going through. You don't realize how hard it is to give thanks sometimes. And I just want to give you quickly two reasons to give thanks anyways. Two reasons that we can give thanks anyways. The first reason to give thanks when times are tough is because God has a plan for your life. My friend, there is a sovereign God who rules in the affairs of men. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God says this temptation and this trial is not something devised for your ruination, but it is brought into your life because God has a plan for your life, not to ruin you, but to make a way of escape and to glorify Himself. Not only does God have a plan when the trial comes, but I want you to see, secondly, God has a purpose in this. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And when He says, I want to hear your request, and I want you to tell me your prayer and your supplication with thanksgiving, He is saying, realize that I have a reason, I have a plan, I have a purpose in this, and there is cause for giving thanks, even when times are difficult. Well, we see the patience of the early believer. They had patience to show their moderation at a very difficult and prejudice-filled time. We see the prayers of the early believers. They brought their requests to the Lord. And oh, what a blessing to know that we can do the same. We can enter boldly today into the presence of Jesus Christ. But I want you to see finally this morning the peace of the early believers. You see, through prayer, they discovered the peace of God. I want you to see this as we close in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, God says to these praying believers that there is the gift of peace available to them. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Notice the gift of peace in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think of the peace of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, you see this matter of worry, where the Bible said in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Worry is a tension between the mind and the heart. As the mind is focusing on the difficulty, the heart, which is the seat of our emotion, begins to fill up with what the mind is processing. And as our mind is being aware of the great challenging circumstance that we face, then the heart, the emotions begin to respond. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we worry. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. But the Bible tells us in this verse that the God of peace will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Now, my friend, this morning, I'm not a doctor, and I'm sure there are people struggling with various schizophrenic type situations and difficulties emotionally that are bringing about a necessary prescription in their life. I'm sure of it. There are people who need such medication. But I am equally sure as I stand here this morning that there are millions of people in America being overly medicated for such maladies because they do not have the peace that only comes with knowing your sins are forgiven. Jesus loves you, and there's a home in heaven for you, and you don't have to go to bed every night feeling the guilt and despair of past immorality, adultery, abortion, or whatever the sin may have been. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and when someone understands the power of the shed blood and they receive Jesus as their Savior, there's a forgiveness, there's a freedom, and there's a peace that comes into someone's life. When they receive Jesus as their Savior. And then beyond that, when they learn to pray and they learn the precious promises of the Bible, God says to them, I will keep your heart and mind. You don't have to lose your mind. I will keep your mind by Christ Jesus. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And so the gift of peace is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see, secondly, the guardianship of peace. He says, I will give you peace. And then He says, I will keep your hearts and minds. I will guard them. You see, safety does not consist of the absence of danger, but it is the presence of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 18 in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And here we read in the Bible that He will keep our minds and He will keep our hearts by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night at men's prayer, we gathered together in this auditorium, as we do every Saturday night at 4:30 with men. And it's a time to share requests, and I share what I'm preaching the next day, and we grab partners and go to the Lord in prayer. And I had the joy of praying with Brother Bishop last night. And we came to this platform, as I do every Saturday night, and we asked God for His presence and His power upon these services. And Brother Bishop is a man that has experienced as much or more pain as any man that I've ever known. He lives with pain every single day. But as we prayed, you could sense the peace of God in his life. It is a peace that comes not only through sins forgiven, but through the life that abides with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, today, I don't know what your burden is, and I don't know what your worry is, but I know that God has peace available to keep our hearts and our minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to the last three words of our sermon today. Notice those three words. Through Christ Jesus. Would you say those three with me? Through Christ. How do we have peace? It's through Christ Jesus. Romans 5 says it this way, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You might be here this morning, visiting with us perhaps, and wondering how to have peace with God. Some men try to find peace through religion. They go to a church in the morning. They go back at night. They may say some prayers in the morning. They may light some candles at night. They try not to do anything bad during the day, because if they do, they fear they might not wind up in heaven at the end of that day. They live their lives in constant torment and fear and trying through religion somehow to please God. But God says, religion doesn't please me, but what my Son did at Calvary is what pleases me. It's the shedding of the blood that brings the remission for sin. Therefore, being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't invite you to find religion today. Lots of people have religion who have no eternal peace. We invite you today to come to the one who can give peace, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He died for your sins. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, then let today be the day of your salvation. And do not reject Him, but receive Him today by faith. And if you have received Him by faith, remember this. He's telling you and He's telling me, let me know your requests. Come on in boldly. Come in boldly to the throne room and let me know what you need. Come with your prayers, your supplications, and bring a little thanksgiving too as you come into my presence.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell in today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching and preaching through a series entitled I Will Build My Church. We're taking a look at God's original plan and intent for local church ministry. What is it? Why is it important? And how does it matter for your life today? You can find out more about this series and previous Daily in the Word programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Launch Out at His Word daily devotional, read through the Bible in a year, and receive a daily word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell and from God's Word every day in your email box. That's completely free of charge. You can also download Daily in the Word and take it with you via the podcast. Place it on your phone, iPod, or computer, or refer a friend to listen to Daily in the Word. All of this and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and a host of friends August 9th through 16th, 2014, for a marvelous cruise to Alaska. 7 days of adventure aboard a beautiful cruise ship. You'll enjoy the beauty of God's creation, the fellowship of Christian friends, and some great Bible teaching and preaching. Again, that's August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Now is the time to register and reserve your place on the ship. You can find out more about the cruise and get questions answered when you visit us again at dailyintheword.org. The other thing you can do is give us a call, toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell personally and follow his ministry, be sure to visit his blog at paulchappell.com. That's paulchappell.com. If you're interested in his books and other resources for spiritual growth, be sure to visit strivingtogether.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.